Hey Mama, I'm your host, Brooke Jefferson. I'm a wife, mama to two, and business coach for moms with businesses. I'm on a mission to help you go from the best kept secret to a reputable brand that results in a profitable business. And the best part, you don't have to sell your soul to social media to achieve it. My very first business was a photography business that I started back in 2014, and by 2018, it became my full-time career, and I was able to leave the classroom. Along the way, I've built and scaled multiple six-figure businesses. I started this podcast as a way to encourage, equip, and inspire you on your entrepreneurial journey. If you're ready to find a community that supports you, implement strategies in your business that work, and uncover that confidence within you, this podcast is for you. Grab your kids some snacks and pop those earbuds in. It's time to grow and scale your business. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the show. I cannot wait to dig into your story and just share what an incredible human I think you are with my listeners. So before we dive into all of that, tell the listeners who you are and what you do.
Oh, Brooke, I love you so much. So thank you for having me. I was looking forward to getting to hang out with you again. So a little about me, I am a mom to three. You know what they say, like how you introduce yourself is a lot about you. So yeah. I am aware of that, but I'm normally like, here's all my accolades, but I've changed that over the years. So I'm a mom of three, married to my best friend for 10 years. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I grew up wanting to be a teacher. I used to spend my money at the teacher store, literally my allowance. I used to buy certificates and stamps and all the things. So I taught for 3 years and quickly learned that that was not what I wanted to do for my life. I wasn't ready to be a mom at 21. And so I ended up getting into the corporate world, did a lot of things in sales and kind of climbed the corporate ladder. And then I became a mom in 2014. And that's when my entrepreneurial journey started. I got into network marketing, had a lot of success in that industry. And here we are today, coaching other entrepreneurs in this space through the whole journey of all of those things combined, put together.
So you gave the listeners kind of like a sneak peek into some of the areas that we're going to dive into. And I actually think you might have answered part of the first question that I ask all of my guests. And that is, when you were a little girl, what was your vision for your life? And what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, so I wanted to be a teacher. And you know, it's so interesting. I actually didn't want to be a mom. Like that wasn't a burning desire in my heart. Although I kind of just saw that everyone just grows up and kind of has two kids, has a boy and a girl by the age of 20, I don't know, 24, 25, and you move on with your life. I didn't meet my husband until I was 27. I didn't have my first kid till 30. So my life took a very different turn than what I had thought, but I wanted to be a teacher. I had zero questions about that. And yeah, it's so cool. And this might be another question that you go into, but I kind of felt guilty for that for a while. Like, I don't know, not guilty is maybe not the right word, but like, man, how did I get that wrong? And the Lord showed me that you're still a teacher. Your classroom simply looks different.
Oh my gosh, I've had this same revelation, as you know, because we talk all the time. I know you in real life, and it's just so cool because I remember being so frustrated. Like, why did I bust my butt with two kids through college to become a teacher, to literally get into it and it be the worst experience I've ever had? Now, I know that's not everyone's story, and I know you really enjoyed teaching for what it was. But I mean, I have those questions, and I'm willing to bet other moms have that question too, of like, I have this degree, I'm not even using it. But I would love for you to reframe, or, you know, you as the listener to reframe, are you not using it? Or are there skills that you picked up along the way that you actually are using in the business that you're building? So you obviously became a teacher. How long were you in the classroom for? And then what prompted you to leave teaching?
I was in the classroom for 3 years. And actually that prompted a move across the country. I grew up in Pennsylvania and I couldn't get a full-time teaching position. So I moved to Arizona. So I'm in like a lot of transitions in my life. Not only am I becoming an adult and I had to buy toilet paper and toothpaste for the first time. That was an emotional breakdown for me. I was like, wait, what? This costs money? But so I moved away and living, you know, in a state that I don't know people. And then I'm also becoming an adult and discovering this profession. But I, at a church, the church that I belong to, I was a young adults like group, and one of them worked for an education publishing company, and he knew I was a teacher. And so I was teaching and I didn't love it. I was really trying to force myself to love it and find the good in it and convince myself that this was it. I loved my principal. We were actually super close. And he was like a father figure to me, you know, across the country. And I was very honest with him. I actually resigned. This is funny. I resigned my first year of teaching in Arizona. And I ended up the last day of school, had such an emotional just connection with my students that I went and asked for my job again. And he gave it back to me like, yes, we would love for you to stay. And then I did another year of teaching and was like, this is not it. Like, I tried to convince myself, but a guy that I went to church with worked for an education publishing company, knew I was a teacher. And he said, hey, my company is looking for teachers who would want to get into sales. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. He's like, would you be interested? And so I did a little research. And actually, the day of my interview, I called my mom and I was terrified. I thought, I'm not a salesperson. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, and at the same time, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I have the summer off to figure that out, but I got to figure something out. So my mom gave me some advice that I think is so good. I'd share this with a lot of people, but you can't turn down a job that you never got the offer to. And I think that's a lot. It's helped me a lot in my entrepreneurial thing. Like, we put ourselves up for rejection, up to be not wanted, whether that's one client or a program. And until you like face that, you can't really, you discover a lot about yourself through that journey. So anyways, I ended up getting that job and I did that for 3 years and had a lot of success, but found myself kind of bored. I have this like what I call a 3-year burnout. I just like, I do things. I taught for 3 years. I accomplished a lot. And then I kind of got bored and I'm like, well, what's next, Lord? Did the education curriculum sales, had a lot of success and was, you know, at the top and like, okay, what's next? I'm not really thrilled. And I've learned actually through a lot of counseling that I've addicted to the high and the achievement and the success. And that's a whole other podcast episode, Brooke. But I've noticed this pattern in my life. And so I just kept doing these journeys of like these 3-year stints of all these different professions. So that got me into education, curriculum, sales. And that taught me a lot about sales, working for the best of the best in corporate world. And a lot of that has definitely translated into my entrepreneurial stuff.
Yes. And you bring up this point of, as you're talking, I should just reframe it this way. As you're talking, I notice with all of my guests, when you guys tell your stories, I can see God literally weaving each thing together. Like, you were a teacher and then you got recruited to sales. And then, because I know about, you know, what comes for your future, sales is literally like the epitome of what you've done all of these years. And it's so cool. Like, when you're going through seasons, you can't really see God's hand in it or how everything fits together until you look back and you're like, oh, I get it. Each thing was like a puzzle piece. So, okay. So how did you go from corporate sales to becoming a mom and network marketing? Kind of catch us up to speed on that part of your business journey.
Yep. So as I was in this job, the education curriculum sales, and I was recruited out of that through to a pharmaceutical sales company. And at the time, that was like the thing everybody wanted. And funny enough, I met my husband there. So my husband and I were, and that's part of a little quick little pit stop that God had me in. And then I quit that job and moved to Texas because we were dating long distance. And so in that, you know, it's interesting because it's like, I moved across the country again to no job, but was in love and, you know, just like adventurous, and ended up getting into another career into staffing. And so in that, became a mom, got married, you know, and then became a mom. And on my maternity leave, I remember a lot of people asking me, are you gonna quit your job? And I was like, absolutely not. I had zero desire to be a stay-at-home mom. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And I, you know, kudos to you. If you are a stay-at-home mom, I admire you and honor you for that. And I did not want that for my life until I held that baby. And I thought, what was I thinking? Like, how can I hand this baby? And at the time I was working a very, very competitive career. And so I was working 60 to 80 hours a week easily. And so I thought, how am I going to do this with a baby. And then how am I going to travel into the office for some days? It was an hour and a half commute each way. And so depending on traffic, and I'm like, this is not going to work. And so I panicked for 3 months and laid on my bed and hyperventilated, crying to my husband. We had just bought a house. We had just moved back to Pennsylvania at the time. And I was ready to sell the house. I thought, I don't know what I have to do to be able to stay home with this baby. But if we have to live on, I don't know, like, how can we live on one income? And so all that to say, I was introduced to network marketing. Now, I wasn't originally introduced for the business opportunity. I was introduced to lose the 60 pounds that I had gained in my pregnancy. But as I was around the people, I noticed that, wait, there's a business here and they're not just making a little bit of money. They're actually like, this is their full-time career. And that opened my eyes up to the entrepreneur world.
Oh my goodness. I love that. Because I think we've all been there of, we don't want to send this little baby off to daycare or hire a nanny to come watch this baby, especially when we feel like that is our, I'm just going to use terms that I've heard. That's our job, right? Like, that's our baby. That's what we should be doing. And again, I catch myself saying should, because I think that is a guilt thing that we go through. And that's not to say that if you are a working mom in corporate right now, building a business on the side, that you're wrong or whatever. But I would love to know, what do you think was really calling you to be home with your first baby? What was it that was stirring inside of you to make you feel the way that you felt?
Well, I was realistically mapping out my day. So if I was commuting into the city, that was anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half commute. Okay, so there's that, times two there and back. I also was breastfeeding. And so I was thinking of pumping and like, oh my gosh, it the thoughts became reality, right? I had been thinking about motherhood. It's like, you can read all the books, and then until you have that baby in your arm, it's a totally different experience. And so as I was really processing, well, how am I going to keep this up? And then the high pressure that I was under, it's like, is this really a good place for me to be? And so it was just a combination of things. And I could not imagine myself to continue to move forward in the where I was. And listen, God did a miracle. So as I had mentioned, like, there really was no way we could live off of one income. And so I think that's a lot of homes nowadays, right? So it's like, these moms who maybe want to be home, it's just not an option, and or your lifestyle would really have to change. And so all that to say, the day before I was supposed to go back to the office, the VP of the four, we actually transferred with our company back to Pennsylvania, but we had worked for the same company in Texas. The VP of the Texas territory called me and said, hey, we want to offer you an opportunity to do a pilot. And we're actually looking for you to work for our team again here in Texas remote. I mean, talk about, I sobbed on the phone to this VP who I didn't like, I mean, I knew him, but like not a super close relationship. And I just sobbed because God answered my prayers literally down to the wire the day before I was supposed to. And we had a nanny lined up. We had all of that. And the beauty of it was that I was able to actually work from home still and keep that job while I built the network marketing on the side. And so I still had to do the double thing like a lot of women have to do. And should I say get to do, right? But God is so good in how he sees the desires of our heart. I don't know. I think someone needs to hear that, that when it all else looks like it's just going to not work out, I promise you, God, if it's God, God has a plan. He literally was like the Hail Mary. It was like the last, like, oh my goodness, this could only happen because God knew my heart and saw me crying on that bed for the last month of my maternity leave, just desperate for a solution.
That is incredible. Like, gave me goosebumps when you were talking about it, and really just showing how, you know, God really does show up, and it's never on our timeline ever. If there's one thing God has taught me, it is it's not on your timeline. It's on mine, you know? And that really took care of my next question, which was asking, like, what happened? Did you have to go back? Did you build up your network marketing business so fast that, you know, you were able to see that success? So now that we know you were able to do both, like, amazingly, what did it look like? When did network marketing truly take off and you were truly able to leave corporate and really just do that?
Yeah. So when I was working with that previous team, I was actually a director of it. And so when I came back, I wasn't that title. And so I was actually working under the woman who replaced me. And the dynamics just were not working. We'll leave it at that. And so that was the fuel to my fire, thinking I am not staying stuck here. I cannot. And so I actually was really miserable in my job, even though God was good and allowed me to stay home and I got to feed my baby throughout the day and whole, you know, all the things. It was literally the best case scenario for the situation. And the working environment was not going very well. And so that was the fuel to my fire. And that was the driving force, because I didn't really see network marketing as really an option. I didn't really know what it was. And then there's the questions of like, is this real? Is this, but I saw other people doing it. And so I thought, huh. And that immediately, I don't know, there was like a switch turned off. And I thought, this is the solution to the problem. And this is why I didn't get the jobs that I was applying for while I was on maternity leave and, you know, all the things. And so I actually did get a job while I was on maternity leave, and I turned it down because it was going to be the same thing, driving to an office. But anyways, that's another story. But I just saw potential, and I thought, if she's doing it, why can't I? And let me tell you what, you know, God says to have, listen, I've been at this for now 9 years, going on 10, and I don't always have that attitude. Because life has happened to me over the last 9 years in the entrepreneurial journey. And I've had lots of highs and I've had lots of lows. And it just is a constant reminder that that childlike faith that I had is something that God is challenging me to have here in almost 10 years in. Heather, I want you to have childlike faith that if she can do it, so can I. If it's possible, and we know all things are possible, you know, with the Lord. And so I actually just talking about this, Brooke, is actually kind of therapeutic. It's like, I admire that woman who had no clue what she was doing. When I say no clue, I mean no clue what she was doing. And she went for it.
Yeah. And that is incredible. That is, I think it's so interesting that we can look back on different seasons of our own self and be inspired by ourselves. And I feel the exact same way, because I think back to my network marketing days and how I literally had the exact same thought, well, if they can do it, so can I. And it came out of me being in one of the lowest seasons of my entire life. In fact, I will be honest, I go back and think about that season so many times, because even though I have my lows, it's never been that low. That was the lowest point of my life. And we were able to climb out of it with that attitude. And I think that attitude for so many of us is the one, even the mindset, the attitude, whatever you want to call it. I think that sometimes is enough to get you to, you know, to do the thing, to get you to show up day in and day out. And so I just love that you bring up the childlike faith, even though you have no clue tomorrow what that's going to look like or how this is going to pan out, you were still like ready to take the leap. You had that almost, I want to say confidence. I was trying to find another word to describe it, like almost.
Yeah. What's popping up in me is hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when we lose hope that there's not a better solution or something else, our heart literally gets sick and we don't see a way out. And so it's, again, I'm like preaching to myself, because I'm in a different season of my own journey and my business. And you know, while it looks a certain way to other people, this is the other thing too. I think anyone who's starting a business, I tell my clients this all the time, people who have, you know, made 7 figures, 8 figures, they are still wrestling with the same concepts. And it all really is rooted in who we believe that we are and who we believe that God is. And that, like, do we see possibilities? Do we have hope that there's better? So I think it's so interesting, because it doesn't really matter where we start in our journey. We all wrestle with the same things. Even the air quote, you know, successful people are still wrestling with the same garbage, because the same enemy is using the same tactics and the same tools against all of us to not get to where God wants to take us.
Yes. And this is exactly what we have been talking about in real time, especially with me. And that's why I'm going to ask a question, because yesterday I found myself completely defeated, ready to throw in the towel, ready to go get a job. And this is not the first interview that I've brought this up. This is a real obstacle. And I think that if we just shy away from it and we keep it as a secret and we don't talk about it, then the enemy is going to come back even harder. And eventually some people are going to believe it and they are going to give up on their business. Even if they know that they know God's called them to it, they're still going to question it. So for the person listening, the mom, the woman, whoever, right, listening, who is just absolutely in that place of defeat. This is not working. This is not what I thought it was going to look like. This is so much harder, right, than I thought. What encouragement do you have for her?
So much, because I've been her and I'm her right now. I'm super transparent. I'm her right now in a season of what is it that's holding me back from that next level? You know, and so a couple things. One, I think what I have been uncovering in my own journey is that shame has played a huge part in my story. And it's like, you know, I just keep thinking of shame off of you, like shame off of you. And I've literally prayed that, like, shame off of me in Jesus' name. Like, where has the enemy shamed me in my story? Because shame wants to make us hide. Shame wants to make us not, it's like, you know, I've journaled a lot. If you know me, like, I journal a lot. I give my clients journal prompts. And so one of the journals that I've done was like a cage. I feel stuck in a cage. I see that I have so much potential and that I have so much to say. I have so much value to give. And yet I feel silenced and I feel stuck in this cage. That could be very real at the very beginning of a business. It can be also real when you're scaling from 6 to 7 figures. It's the same concepts, right? And the enemy, for me personally, was shame and then disappointment. And so I have realized lately that I have held myself back from the next level because I've been trying to avoid disappointment. So the woman who's launched and she's not seeing the fruit, right? What's the most logical thing to say is, well, this must not be working, or maybe this isn't God's plan for me, or this doesn't feel good. Well, yeah, all those things are okay to recognize. And you know, Brooke, what you were talking about, the enemy would love to isolate us and make us think we're the only person having these problems. And then we see this girl who launches this and her successful business looks so good. And let me tell you what, she has wrestled to get there. She's just not posting about it. And that's why I love having people like you, Brooke. And first of all, like, just to be honest about the journey. We all want to share the successes, but nobody really wants to share the failures, the failed launches, the disappointment that we go through. And so I've been sitting with the Lord on that. God, here are the disappointments that I have. And, you know, some of us might think, oh, that's terrible. Like, you should be thankful for all things. And so one of the things that I really encourage not only myself, but my clients and friends is to get honest about your feelings, because they are simply shining a light into like what you're actually thinking. And so a failed launch is like, well, I've had all the questions, like, is God mad at me? Did I not hear him right? Did I not do it good enough? Am I on the wrong track? Like, all the questions. And all those are really good questions to ask the Lord. So the woman who's like sitting in this discouragement, I think it goes back to the, actually, I just wrote this quote down the other day and it's like, ooh, where is it? I don't know. I don't know if I can find it on my 20 million notes over here, but essentially it's like, it's that idea of hope that we always have to, we get to choose hope as like there's a better, and it might not be exactly what you thought it was, but that God has a better plan. And when you're stuck, it's like we can't see outside of it. And so sometimes we're stuck in a story, but really to ask the Lord, where have I lost hope? And restore that for me. Where have I been discouraged and disappointed that I've allowed that to just weigh on my shoulders, to literally like keep my head down? Where have I been shamed? Maybe it was yourself or someone else online or family or whatever. And how has that played into your story of actually showing up?
So good. So good. I journaled forever yesterday. just really kind of sat with myself. And of course, you know, I don't think it's not necessarily like coincidences, but I think that God does give us every single thing that we need and how it overlaps. So obviously my conversation with you and the others that were in our conversation, the book that I started, the book that I got from the library yesterday, it's just so crazy how it all overlaps. And it really just showed me like my defeat is, while I feel defeated, it's a feeling And it's actually coming from, you know, being attacked by the enemy because I'm trying to launch this. You know, we're recording this, but it's not launched yet. And so it's just, it's a distraction to get me to say, I must have heard wrong. He didn't call me to this. Let me put it back on the shelf, which is exactly what I did a year ago. So it's just crazy that it's all coming back full circle. But I truly think that, you know, it's important to remember, like you said, that we all have highs and lows. And if there's anything I want to be remembered for, it's sharing it all, because I feel like I am someone that does share all of it. I will share when it is like crashing down and I'm ready to throw in the towel. And I will also shout from a mountain when it is like my most victorious moment. So I love that you said that. I think it's important to bring reality back to the highs and lows. And so that was just incredible, incredible encouragement. Okay, before we get too off, because we stopped in your story and I don't want to stop there. I want to bring us all the way up to the present day. So we know at this point, like you took a leap of faith. You saw that you had this drive, this childlike faith to really be able to create a successful network marketing business. And I know that you did. What did your network marketing journey look like? And you can just give us the bird's eye view if you want to. And then how did that lead you to today? Are you still in network marketing? How are you coaching women? Tell us all the things.
Oh, man. Okay. So yes, when I started, I had zero desire to be a millionaire or to do anything really big. I simply wanted to replace my corporate income so we could pay the bills and I could be home with my baby. That was the goal. I could get out of the job that I was under. And I did that in a little less than a year. And then it was like, okay, how do I scale this thing? And so I spent 3 years in that first company and I was, you know, in the top 1%. It was my full-time job, all the things, earned the trips. It was, you know, achieving all the things, but that 3 year burnout, I was like, wow, this has been fun. And I've, you know, proven a lot, but I feel kind of stuck. I feel almost kind of bored. And so I was right before I had my second child, I really felt a stirring, like God was doing something. And I felt like, kept saying to my husband, you know, I don't know what's going on, but like something big is coming, something big. And so I ended up pivoting and going to another network marketing company, which is actually where we met. I had my daughter in 2016. And so I found that company just a few months after I had her. And that is where the 3 years of seeds that I sowed the 3 years prior really started to come to fruition. People who had been watching my journey, who probably really couldn't relate so much to health and fitness, they could totally relate to makeup and skincare. And so I ended up building that business to 8 figures. And it was like that. I mean, it was $1 million months. It was just wild. Every month I'd be like, what is going on? Like, oh my goodness. And so I was that story. I was living that story that a lot of people are like dream of in network marketing. But here's the reality of that, though, is that as I was achieving all the success and all the accolades and rank after rank and trips and, you know, all the things, I was in the number two spot in that company. Something was still missing. And I could not figure out why I wasn't satisfied, why I wasn't content, why I wasn't just overly grateful. And there's a lot that goes into that, but my spirit and my soul could not rest in the worldly success. And then I knew something was off, something was missing. And I said, and I actually felt that pretty early on, but I literally was doing $1 million months like within my third month. And so it was like, well, God, how are you giving me all this success and yet I'm not happy? So I tried to, again, like teaching, I tried to convince myself that this was the place that I was supposed to be because I was seeing all sorts of fruit. And so it took me about a year to really be honest with myself and say that this isn't it. Like, this is not it. And I don't really 100% know what is it, but this isn't it. And no money, no amount of money is worth my peace. No amount of money is worth my joy. And I was ready to throw in the towel. So I'm like, in that, I'm like, okay, well, like, how do I do this? Because my family is super, when we rely on this and we'd retired my husband, all that. So all that to say, I ended up, and this maybe goes a little bit deeper into my story, but I ended up researching the company, looking at all the bylaws, took them to attorneys, took them to friends who own network marketing companies. Like, am I reading this correctly? Like, I'm able to do this business and start another one? And according to the rules that I was allowed to. And when I did, that wasn't permitted. And so I actually was ended up terminated from that company, went from a 8-figure network marketing business to nothing overnight while I was actually pregnant with my third child. And in that, man, God has done such a work in me since 2018. And so that happened in 2018, and it was absolutely traumatic and it was gut-wrenching, and I lost a lot of friends and all sorts of trauma in that. And I built a third business. And so you had asked, am I still in network marketing? So I actually just got paid yesterday from a company who I built very furiously, very quickly, because that was the only way that I could feed my children. And that's what I knew. And I climbed the ranks there, and I was at the top of the company there, speaking on stages, earning. I got number one recruiter of the year, all these things. And I found myself still in the same place, unsatisfied and just thinking, how has this happened now 3 times? And something's still off, something's still missing. And so fast forward, this was 2019, after I'd went on this like crazy build this business fast and built that to 7 figures, God called me to a season of rest. I was on vacation, and I remember sitting out on the balcony before my kids got up, and I was just doing my quiet time with the Lord. And I kept hearing the word rest. And rest was like a 4-letter word to me. Like, it was awful. I thought people who rested were lazy and that they just didn't want to work hard enough. And how could I slow down when I'm still trying to make up the business that I lost? And I'm still not even back to where I was financially. And so I have to get that back, and I have to prove, you know, whether it was my worth or whatever. I mean, there was all kinds of angles that was driving me to work hard again. And the Lord kept saying to rest. So I took like a weekend off. Y'all, I thought I was amazing because I like could surrender a weekend on vacation with my family. And then I kept hearing that word after vacation, rest, rest, rest. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Like, how much more do you want me to rest? And I ended up taking about a month and a half off of social media. I deleted all the apps. Now, mind you, that might not sound like a lot, but at the time, my husband wasn't working. I had just lost everything a year prior, and I was not making the same kind of money. And I was making decent money, but not the same. And I was still very much trying to figure out what on earth just happened and just digging through my identity and all the things. God really called me to a season of rest, because this is something I've learned over coaching, is that busyness is a sign of lack of intimacy. And I kept myself so busy building that third business because I was avoiding intimacy with God in a sense, because I had to build this business with myself, with my husband, with my family. I was avoiding the pain that was in my life by keeping really busy, and God knew it. And so he called me to a season of rest and took this month and a half off of social media. And crazy enough, my paycheck didn't go down. And that's only by the grace of God, because logic would say, well, of course you're going to make less money. And God was so good in his kindness. The assignment that he had given me was like, I'm still going to take care of you. And maybe it does feel a little scary, and maybe it is a little bit less, and maybe it is uncomfortable for you. And I am your provider. Like Jehovah Jireh, you know, we can sing that all day long, but until you literally have to allow God to be your provider, or not have to, but until you choose to come into agreement with the fact that he is, it changes things. And so I went from super busy woman, had 4 businesses at the time, to literally laying them all down and allowing Jesus to heal so many things that had been hidden in my life that I didn't even know needed healed. And truth be told, he is still showing me things that he can heal and that he wants me to walk in full freedom. And so all of that to say, in all the network marketing, as I cried out to the Lord when he called me to the season of rest, I just cried out like, God, I know you waste nothing. Right? The Bible says that he wastes nothing and all things work together for good. But, you know, it's like I knew all these Bible verses, and the Lord met me in my pain and my deep, deep, deep heartache. And I was crying out to him, what do you want me to do? Like, what do you want me to do next? I got to do something because I have to make money and all the things. And I know that you've given me gifts, and I've seen that you use them before. And so how do you want me to use them again? And God asked me a question in that season that literally changed the trajectory of my life. Why am I going to cry? I just remember being on these walks crying out, God, just tell me what to do. I will do it. And he asked me, Heather, am I enough? I was like, what? And then he said it again, like, am I enough? And I thought, are you enough? What does that even mean? And then I realized I had been begging him to tell me what to do, because that's what I've done my whole life. I was a doer. I was a doer, doer, doer. And I didn't even realize that, well, God created us to be human beings before he created us to be human doings. And God's so much more concerned with my being than he was my doing. And so he was calling me to a season of rest so that I wasn't so busy, because I was lacking this like intimacy on a level that I didn't even know was available to me with God. And so I had to sit with that question and answer it. Are you enough? And the honest answer was no, because I wasn't finding my value and my identity and my worth and my safety in him. I was finding all of those things in a successful business. And the Lord just wanted to show me that your business has actually been an idol. And yes, you spoke on stages about me and you used it for good and you shared the gospel with people and people came to know me and I was a testimony for all these women. And yet it was still the very thing that was holding me back from living in freedom. Through all of that, as I kind of journaled out, like, okay, what did I like about network marketing? Do you want me to find another company? Should I start building this one again? All those types of questions. I really uncovered my favorite thing about network marketing was mentoring and training and coaching and leading. And so that's where, you know, I just was like, I think that I'm meant to do that more than teach someone how to sell a product or how to build in a business to be strategic with a comp plan. And so that's kind of leads me up to where I am today, to still allowing the Lord to show me where I have misconceptions of who I am and where I have misconceptions of who he is, and really uncovering the call of my life. Like, you know, you might see me on social and think, well, she's got it all figured out. And meanwhile, I'm here to tell you, no, I don't. I am desperately asking the Lord to give me clarity and plans and blueprints and show me, like, what is it that you want me to do? And right now, God has me in a season of being a mom, heavily being a mom, which is honestly the hardest job. It's, I don't talk about it much on social, but I work 2 days a week. I work for 4 hours a day. And the summer, I was working 5 or 3 days a week during the school year, but Lord just challenged me, like, I want you to enjoy your kids. I want you to learn what it's like to have fun again and to explore the world. And, you know, I just realized through a lot of counseling that, you know, I didn't have the childhood that, and I didn't have a bad childhood, but God's just showing me it wasn't the exact way that he would intend it to be. And somewhere along the way, I lost the ability to have fun and explore. And so God has invited me into a summer of fun and exploration. And so I'm doing that. And let me tell you what, that is way harder for me than building a $1 million business. It is way harder for me to slow down, spend time with my kids on an intimate level, allow the Lord to unravel these things that have been driving me my whole life so that he can heal what's been hidden. And this is what I really call the hard and holy work, because it's stripping away my identity of all the things and just allowing me to get to the root of who I am in Christ, regardless of my title, my money, my accolades, and whatever. So that brings y'all up to speed in my life. But if that answers your question.
It did. And as someone who had somewhat of like a front row seat to watching all of this play out from the time I met you up until today, I have to say, even the times when you don't say anything, but you just kind of lead, but yeah, you just lead, you just show your life and you just say like, hey, this is what, you know, God is taking me through. It has been transformational in my own walk with God. I mean, like, I don't even recognize the person I was. How many years ago was it now? I don't even know. But like who I was in 2016 to who I was in 2018, all the way to 2020. And now in 2023, looking back, like I am unrecognizable through in all the ways, as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter of Christ, as a business owner. Just being able to watch you walk out your journey is a true testament to like what God can do in your life. And that's why just hearing your story, I know, is going to be transformative. And there's light bulbs going off and God is whispering, you know, to the women in unique ways. And just being able to watch it all. I mean, like even our conversation yesterday, transformative, absolutely changed my life. And so you have such incredible power through your story. And I know you know this, and I know God constantly sends you confirmations and reminders. It's just so eye-opening to realize that you had it all, as the world would say, right? Like, you are the definition of what worldly success looked like, but you still felt empty. Have you figured out why you felt empty? And I'm assuming you have, because I heard pieces, but have you figured out what was making you feel empty?
Yeah. So I had asked the Lord many times, how can I just like wrap this up in a bow so I don't have to cry to people and tell them all the things, and I don't have to use that same phrase of, I had an 8-figure business and I lost, you know, it's like all that. And the Lord just gave me a phrase one time, and it was that whole, like, I had to lose it all to find Jesus's all. And as much as I knew God and I was raised in a Christian home and I was speaking about God on stages and sharing with him, you know, him with people in post and all the things, like, I was not ashamed of the gospel. But in my healing, I realized I literally didn't even know the amazingness of who God is.
Yeah.
I knew Jesus and I knew God and I had a relationship with him, but I kept it very surface. And in my healing and in going through the pain of losing it all and stripping away what I thought was who I was and even who I thought who God was, he got to show me like who he really was. And so I lost it all, but I found Jesus's all. And if I had to do it all again, I would easily lay the business down. If I could just know that I would have this personal, deep relationship with the Lord that I have now. I didn't grow up in a very spirit-filled church. And so that depends on, you know, what kind of I grew up in a Baptist church, and all Baptist churches are different anyway. So there's that, all different churches are different, but we didn't really talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And so through my healing, God used people with spiritual gifts. I had a prophetic word. I had a word of knowledge given to me. And I thought, for the first time in my life, there's no way that woman, she didn't know my name. There's just no way she would have known that. And the devil certainly didn't want to give me that really encouraging message. Who is this God? And how come I don't know him like that? How come I don't hear from him like that? How come? And it just took me on this journey of really uncovering who God actually is and how much he actually loves me. And he's proud of me regardless of the titles that I have. And so, you know, right now, like, a lot of my clients make more money than I do. I don't make as much. I'm working with a $1 million earner in a network marketing company now. And it's like, you know, I had to sit with that. And she actually asked me, can I ask you how much you make? And I was so easily able to tell her my income. And I had zero shame. I had zero shame. And I'm like, yeah, you make more money than me. Now I've made more money and I know what that's like. But my identity, it's like that day when I was able to say that to her without skipping a beat, I realized that there was no shame and my identity wasn't tied to my income anymore. And that I am really valuable and I have a lot to offer the world, and it has nothing to do with my accolades. It has to do with who God created me to be and the gifts and the anointing that I carry. And so one of the things I felt like when you were talking, I just want to encourage the woman. This is what's really held me back. This is recent revelation, by the way. And so I actually had one of my clients actually point this out to me. And she goes, you know, the reason I hired you is because I knew you had all this success and you lost it and you're still going. And she said, I think you are looking at your story like it's full of shame. And there's lots of details to my story, right? I mean, like, okay, how do you get terminated from it? And right. And I could go into all the details because I want to defend myself and, you know, prove my goodness. But she said, Heather, that's actually the story that got me hooked on you to want to hire you. And she's like, you're wrapping it up in this bad thing when I actually thought that was an amazing thing. And so I really got to sit with myself and thought, man, I fell down, and I didn't just like fall down. I literally like fell flat on my face, and I was kind of there on the ground for a little while and got rolled over by a truck and a semi and all the things. And I thought, you got back up. You got back up. And whether that's like a little launch that has failed or an email that you sent out that wasn't successful, or a post that didn't get the accolades and the likes that you wanted, the fact that you get back up is so good and so worth a pat on your back and empathy for yourself and encouragement to yourself and love for yourself. Because the very thing that's kept me from scaling where I'm at now is that my story still had shame tied to it. And that I thought it was a bad thing because I wasn't back to where I was and that I hadn't proven myself. And really the story is I fell and a lot of people would give up then. And so I want to encourage the woman who's building her business, who feels like she keeps falling or she keeps taking a few steps back. The fact that you get back up, that's your power. That in and of itself is winning. And so I hope that encourages you as I share my heart about where I am. But I think of, you know, the lame man on the mat. Jesus said, get up, get up. It's time to arise. It is time to get up or to leap up. I mean, there's so many stories of God, of Jesus speaking and saying, get up. And so it's okay that you've fallen down. It's so much more important that you get back up.
Oh my gosh, we're going to leave it on that high note. And that is just incredible. This is, I knew it is always businessry with you, right? It's never just, here's a strategy, go grow your business. It's, hey, let me just tell you that I've done all the strategy and it led me back to Jesus at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, without him, you're not going to be complete. And I knew that this is exactly where God would take this conversation. And no, this isn't a faith first podcast, but my gosh, I will always let the Holy Spirit lead where the Holy Spirit wants to go. Because at the end of the day, like, this is what really matters. This is it, you know? So how now people are hooked on you. They want more info. How can they connect with you? Where can they follow along with even more of your story?
Well, again, thank you for allowing this space. And I don't know what you do, Brooke, but you bring out the tears in me. But yeah, I have a podcast myself. It's called the Seek First CEO Podcast. You can check that out. And then you can find me on any social media platform, Heather Schreiber Burns. And of course, my website, which needs updated like it does every other time. But just find me on social. We can connect there. And I would love to encourage and support you along your way.
Thank you so much, Heather. This was packed with just such not even inspiration, but just truth, just freedom, right? The seeds for freedom. So thank you for sharing your story. It's definitely falling on the ears that it needs to. And this conversation has even impacted me. So I know it's going to impact the listeners as well.